lasted a long time. It lasted for 6 months for some shirim, but for us it lasted for about 10 seconds. So comes the Gemara, the top of Chavtesim and Aleph, and tells us, what is Cheskes Habatim really based on? We have this halacha, the strange halacha of Cheskes Habatim, and all of a sudden you have a Chazaka Meikara, and I come in and I'm living here for 3 years, and boom, hocus pocus, I win. What's it based on? Where did this thing come from? Called Cheskes Gimel Shanim. So comes the Gemara in attempts of Chavtesim and Aleph to put it into the following framework. So Rava suggests, Rava tries one thing, then he tries another thing, but Rava stands for a little bit of time. Elam Rav and Chavtesim and Aleph, Shasa Kamaisa lo kapit inshi, taite lo kapit, las kapit. That's what Cheskes Gimel Shanim is all about, says Rava. Who knows what I'm talking about? What do the words mean? Comes Rava and says, I see somebody sitting on my field, sitting in my house for one day. Right, one day, I'm not going to make such a big stink about it, you know, I'm not such a... Another whole year goes by. Okay, not so bad, not so bad. 2 years go by. 3 years, a guy sitting on my house, I moved into my living room for 3 years, and I didn't open up my mouth? It's inconceivable. Look, Kapte, I was up Kapte, people are mocked better than that. Nobody wants to move into the house for 3 years, at least got to pay the rent. So what do you see? From the fact that I was quiet, and I wasn't moicha, and I didn't protest, that in and of itself is most probably a raya. That in and of itself can serve as a proof that I am, that the other person is in fact the rightful owner of the house. So here you have Bezin. Bezin's listening to the timers. What happens? So one guy walks into Bezin and says, I am the rightful owner of this house, because if you're a house, that's a smart guy. You knew this for the last 20 years, this was my house. The other guy is standing there, Bezin, and says, wait a second, but I lived here for 3 years, and you didn't argue, and any normal person would argue would be Meicha, somebody moved into his house, should like it is for 3 years. That in and of itself should serve as a raya that I'm the rightful owner of the house. That's what Rava thought Cheskes Habatim is based on. Now again, whether Rava is going to last or not is going to be a big machlekes if we show him. Hopefully we'll get to that at the end of the sugya. But at this stage, the Gemara has formulated a basic rationale, a structure, framework for Cheskes Gimel Shonim. Anyone want to put this framework into words that we're familiar with? Very often, you know, you learn Gemara, so you hear tainas, this guy saying that taina, yanam taina. We have to put it into real categories. What categories? What's really going on here, everybody say? What is really taking place in front of our very eyes? Two guys standing in Beis Din. Okay, Jeremy and Avi are standing in Beis Din. So Jeremy used to own the field. For the last 20 years, he owned this house. So what does he have, Rabbi Said? He has what on his side? He has Cheskes Merkava on his side. Avi's got what on his side? Avi, tell me, what do you have on your side? Gimel Shanim. What does that mean? It doesn't mean anything. What does it mean? It's Gimel Shanim is a psychological analysis of the fact. The guy would have been Meicha. Can you name that time in Beis Din, please? There's three letters to it.
Rove.
It's a rove. It means it's unlikely, very unlikely. We did a study, and the psychologist, sociologist came up with the following percentage, that 97.5%, 10 more percent than last time, 97.5% of people would not let somebody live in their living room without being moiche for 3 full years. So Avi walks into the Beis Din and says, I have one thing on my side called rove. So now we understand what's going on. What's the din Torah? What is taking place? What are they fighting out in Beis Din? So Jeremy's screaming, I have a Cheskes Merkava. And Jeremy's screaming, I got a rove. Rabbi said, when you learn Baba Basra on Daf Chavtesim and Aleph, what you have to see in between these lines, if you don't see that, then you just got two guys just screaming their heads off in Beis Din, which is meaningless. We're not interested in that. What we really have to identify is, what are their timings? What are they based on? What Koyach and Aloch are they coming from? So one guy is a Chazoka Meikara. I'm sorry, a Cheskes Merkava. I'm so mushba from the Ketzos, it's terrible. So the one has a Cheskes Merkava, and the other guy's got a Rove. No, Rabbi said, what is Rabbi telling us? What's Rabbi saying? Rabbi saying that Rove works what? What does Rove do? To be made, to be day, Cheskes Merkava. That is Cheskes Gimel Shonim. You want to know in a nutshell, according to Rava, what the Mishnah is all about? What are we learning? What's the Masechta we're learning this year? We're learning the sugya of Rav beating out Cheskes Merkava. That's how Rava sizes up Cheskes Gimel Shonim. I didn't make it up, that's what the Gemara just said. I just put in the word Rav, and the Rav is cupid, low cupid story. Okay? So, you have two brothers sitting at the Shabbos table. Who's smiling and who's not too happy? So, Kump Tashesh Maitza. And says, this is exactly what I was telling you yesterday. Remember I told you yesterday, the litmus test as to who's right between the Sheikh Shmaitz and the Kutas HaSveikas, whether Cheskes Merkava is B'teres Chazoka Meikara, whether Cheskes Merkava is B'teres Mufsok, the ultimate test to prove who's right is what?
And we have to find a case, make up a scenario of what would the halacha be in the following case. A rove versus the cheskes merakamis. So you guys thought, I'm going to find some achron, some Guinness Verodim in Turkey or something. Everyone saw the Guinness Verodim? The two Guinness Verodims. One was written in Turkey, one was written in Germany. So the Prima Verodim did not live in Turkey. It's also the wrong sim, it was Simcha Tess instead of Chavdal, but it's wrong sefer, wrong sim, but otherwise it was okay. So you guys thought I'm going to come up with some crazy mafar for some nutty case of what happened 500 years ago with a rove against the Cheses Merakam. It's the Gemara. It's the next Gemara. It's Chav Tess Aleph. Everyone saw the Gemara Chav Tess Aleph? Everyone got that far in the Ramakamas? Did everyone realize when you read that Gemara that that is the case of rove against the Cheses Merakam? Have you realized that, right? You were the guy who was screaming rove, right? So a rove against the Cheses Merakam. So Rabbi Sai, this Gemara is open and shut for this. Put this as fakis. I'm sorry, wait a minute. This is open and shut for the Sheish Meitzah. It's a proof positive that rove works, lahotzi miday, cheskes merakama, because cheskes merakama is equal in halacha to chazak, and everybody knows we're chazak and ruba adif. That's the end of the story, end of the sugya. So Rabbi said we have our work cut out for us. Why? Because we have to understand this halacha in light of the kutus of sveikus, this formulation. We have to work out this gemara. We have to understand the rabba chavtasim and alach. Assuming the cheskes merakam is much more than just a plain and simple chazak and eikar, assuming that it's a real form of cheskes mamam, what is pshat and mamam? That's our job today. That's what we have our work cut out for us today. So Rabbi Sai, our first approach to how to understand this gemara in light of the kudas hasfekis, this formulation of cheskes merakam. We have to ask ourselves a very honest question. You know, we spent so much time yesterday, the whole opening day shiur was the klal of Ein Hochem Imam Nacha Harov. Right? And I told you the Brooklyn Bridge yesterday. I told you Ein Hochem Imam Nacha Harov. I told you Shmuel, Tzchav Zayin, and the Beis Mimam Kamen, and think about Yenis Ekspert Chodos Asra, and they even gave you a couple of fancy Hagdoras as to why it's true. Ein Hochem Imam Nacha Harov is their Isid, their Abana, with Maises, with Pnei Yeshuas, with Prima Gadim, the whole story and everything. How come nobody stopped me and asked, wait a second, Rabbi Sobolovsky, it's not true. There is no such klal of Ein Hochem Imam Nacha Harov. Why is there no such klal of Ein Hochem Imam Nacha Harov? What is the Gemara that flies in the face of that klal of Ein Hochem Imam Nacha Harov? The fact that the Gemara says beferish in Masechet Sanhedrin that Dini Nefashos Hochem Nacha Harov, that you can kill somebody based on rov. So comes Tosfos in Masechet Sanhedrin of Gilom Abayz and says, Gilom Abayz, right? How in the world can there be such a klal of Ein Hochem Imam Nacha Harov if Hochem Bidin Nefashos Nacha Harov? The answer to that question is going to be ultimately the secret to understanding our sugya.
I mean, you can make the question even stronger. If you claim Ein Hochem Imam Nacha Harov, then any Din in Momodo case would have to be unanimous and baited.
So the truth is that's part of Tosa's question. Tosus raises that question. The Yonim may be a little bit different, that Tosus addresses that issue, both of them account and Asra, why that may or may not be true. What even if Yonim and Mumra Harov, why it might not necessarily be true of humanity both of them. It's a good question. So good. All right, take a look at Tosus in that Tosus in the Bakana Khazan and Lady's book. But yes, the first of all, give away is in it. Take a look. Okay? So again, Rabbi Sai, our job right now is to defend the Kudus HaSfeikis, to understand Pshat and Cheskis Gimel Shonim. How could it be, isn't that a violation of Ein Hochem Imam Nacha Harov? So in order to understand this, we have to get a much, much better understanding of the klal of Ein Hochem Imam Nacha Harov. So let's start with Tosfos Kasha, Tosfos objection. Tosfos says, it can't be. How can there be a klal of Ein Hochem Imam Nacha Harov? Everybody in the world knows that B'din Nefashos Hochem Imam Nacha Harov. Really, everybody knows? How do you know B'Hochem Imam Nefashos Nacha Harov? Where do you know? Who knows? So there's a Gemara tucked away in the end of Masechet Sanhedrin, the beginning of Perek Ben Tzora Mora. This week's Pasha, Chumashi. Ben Tzora Mora. There's a sugya in the very beginning of Ben Tzora Mora that points out two applications of the klal, Hochin B'din Nefashos Nacha Harov. And it's those two Gemaras, those two applications that Tosfos saw as contradicting the klal of Ein Hochem Imam Nacha Harov. What are the two cases? So each one is a little bit complicated. We'll try just to say it over quickly. So the first one is very, very complicated. The Torah says that a person can only be a Ben Sora Mora at a certain time in his life. He has to be a what? He has to be a Ben. He has to be a Ben. Ben has the connotation of what? Someone who's young, right? Kid, Ben. What's the problem? He can't be too young, because if he's too young, then he's not what? then he's under bar mitzvah. So obviously he has to be someone who is, on the one hand, over bar mitzvah, he's a gadol. On the other hand, he's still considered to be a ben. So how do you resolve that contradiction? Isn't that two different ages, two different stages in development? So Gemara says, no, it means like this. He has to be over bar mitzvah. That's for shteitz. He can't punish anybody until he's over bar mitzvah. But he has to be somebody who is still so young that he himself cannot be a father yet. Here, this guy cannot possibly be a father. What does it mean he cannot possibly be a father? So Gemara goes through the very simple cheshbon. Until he's bar mitzvah, so he cannot physically father a child. Once he turns bar mitzvah, so then usually you would think that gives him 9 months. That's a 9-month leeway for him to become a ben sora mora, because his wife, even if lu yitzu, that his wife became pregnant the day of his bar mitzvah, so she's not going to have a baby for 9 months. The Gemara says, no. It's true she won't give birth for 9 months, but it'll be hukar uber after 3 months. 3 months already, the Gemara says, that's the shia. They already know that his wife is pregnant. A lot of people ask me to shout. Couples ask me all the time, when can they say that their wife is pregnant? When's the big time they're allowed to spill the beans that the wife is pregnant? So I always say to them, it's a pasuk in Chumash. The pasuk says, by hikim b'shlosh chodashim. The pasuk says, b'feirish, by tamar, that after 3 months, it was hukar ubra. So that's what you should tell. That's what there's a halacha, just that. The metzius. So comes the Gemara Tzedev and says, since after 3 months, that's called hukar ubra, so after 3 months, you can't say about this kid that he's still a ben. After a guy's already 13 years and 3 months old, he's not a ben anymore. He's over the hill. He's already an old man. But from 13 to 13 and 3 months, then he's still the ben, because it's inconceivable that his wife should be known to be pregnant. That's what the Gemara says. It's strange then. Then the Gemara asks the Kash, and the Gemara says, no, it's not true. What do you mean that for a full 3 months, it's inconceivable that we would ever know that his wife is pregnant? Maybe she's pregnant. The Gemara speaks about different kinds of pregnancies. There's 9 months pregnancy and 7 months pregnancy. I'm leaving out the medical. We're not studying OBGYN right now. So let's assume that this baby is going to be a 7-month pregnancy. So the Gemara says if it's a 7-month pregnancy, then a third of the way through the pregnancy, it's already going to be hukar ubra. So already at 2.5 months and change, don't do the math for me, do me a favor. 2.5 months and change, so it's already going to be hukar ubra. So how could you tell me that this kid is potentially susceptible to being a ben sora mora to the age of 3 months? At the point of 2.5 months, it's already no longer a ben. It's already royally crossed out. So the Gemara says, nah, come on. That you follow Rove. The halacha says you follow Rove. Most babies are born after 9 months, so most women are over at 3 months. So the Gemara says, that's an amazing cloud. What you just told me is that based on Rove, you're killing somebody. Do you hear the cheshbon? Why are you killing somebody based on Rove? If you wouldn't have followed Rove, if the halacha would have been nikva based on even the mi'ud, that some babies are hukar already at 2.5 months, so then this mod of a ben sora mora would have only been from his bar mitzvah for 2.5 months. But since we follow Rove gives us another 2 weeks to kill this kid.
Excuse me, I'm going to say?
Yeah.